Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And today, I'm not going to introduce my guest because I don't want to do them any injustice. I want my guest today to introduce themselves. Hello, please could you introduce yourself?
Hello. I'm Nikki Pilkington. I'm an SEO consultant and content specialist based in Northamptonshire. I work primarily with smaller business-to-business websites. And thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Right. Thank you for joining us today. Now, for the people who's listening and watching this, who doesn't know who you are or your background or anything, please could you give us a whirlwind tour of when you started in the industry to where you are now? Obviously, not in detail, just whip through it.
Okay, it's fairly whirlwind anyway. I started in 1992 promoting businesses in general, so marketing. Around 1994, I was asked to produce a one-page website because that's what one-page websites, what website were then. I produced that in, I believe, Microsoft Publisher. That's how long ago it was. And I realized that I was really spectacularly bad at website design. I have no graphic design skills whatsoever. I'm awful. But what I was good at was realizing that once you had a website, you had to do something with it. This was before Google existed. It was in the days where I think InfoSeek and Lycos had just about come onto the scene. And I was good at promoting websites in search engines. It wasn't called SEO then. We called it internet marketing. And I progressed through that. Google came along, changed the game. I had to learn as I went along. There were no courses in those days. And I'm still here, thankfully, I believe 30 years later. So someone once called me the grandmother of SEO. I'm not sure whether that was a compliment or an insult yet. So I'm not sure whether I'm using it.
Well, I'm a granddad, so it doesn't really matter. But, I was going to say, do you primarily work with small businesses? Is that your main key focus?
It is. I work with a lot of small businesses because I think that lots of the people that you see in SEO, the big names that are out there that we all love, work with bigger businesses, and a lot of them work primarily with e-commerce businesses. But there are lots and lots of small business-to-business websites that deserve to have those rankings in Google and that deserve to be getting business from Google. And so that's always been the type of person that I've worked with. I've worked through agencies on bigger sites, on bigger brand names and things like that. But as a freelancer, I like working with small businesses. I like making that difference because it does make a lot of difference to a small business.
It certainly does. I mean, I've worked with lots of small businesses over the years, and just the way I see it, it's not just about money in the pocket. You're making a real difference to the people that work in that business, making a real impact positively to their lives. But when you're working with these small businesses, what sort of challenges do you face? You know, working with small business compared to a brand that everybody knows?
Well, there's quite a lot of differences, as you know. I mean, when you work with a bigger brand, you've probably got a marketing department that understand SEO and the value that it has. And you can talk to them about the different things and they'll understand why you need to do that. When you work with a smaller business, it's often one person or a really small team. And they don't necessarily understand the value that things can bring, and they see things as very black and white. So what I find with small businesses is, for example, if you take solicitors, for example, they want to be number one for solicitors. And we all know it's pointless being number one for solicitors, because if I'm in Yorkshire and I want a solicitor in Yorkshire and you're in Northants, then there's no point in that. So it becomes more localized and thinking about different search phrases. And that is a fight with a lot of small businesses, is that they think they want to be number one for copywriter or web designer or architect or accountant. And they don't think about the longer tail search phrases, so small business accountant, portfolio websites, that kind of thing. So that's a bit more of a challenge. And then, of course, the challenge with a small business is always going to be budget. They don't have the budget to throw at this type of thing.
Yeah, it is, because it's over the years I've seen so many people complaining about businesses not having the budget. Oh, well, we can't do what with this, can't do what with that. But realistically, that's how much they have. And it's not that they want cheap, it's just that they can't afford anything else. So, yeah. But I mean, working with these businesses, there's always something you can do to create a positive impact. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I speak to businesses all the time that I'll give them my day rate and they'll say, look, I can't afford that. And like you say, they're not being funny about it. They're not saying that because they don't want to spend the money. They're saying that because that's just not in their budget. And they have all the other overheads of running a small business. So I'll often offer things such as I do one-to-one sessions where I teach them the few little things that they can do to change their website for the better, and the things that they can help, you know, that can help them. I run a load of free courses, and I always have done, because, you know, that's how I learn. Like I said at the beginning, there were no courses that we could do when we started, because it didn't exist. Digital marketing didn't exist. And even once digital marketing existed, no one did anything that specialized in SEO. And you can't teach really a whole course on SEO, a whole module on SEO in a marketing degree, because by the time someone's learned it and then qualified, it's changed. So it never stays the same. It's not like just teaching marketing basics. So I often run email courses where I send emails to people, you know, an automated email goes out once a day, once a week, whatever, and says, this is what you need to do. And those are the things that people can do for themselves. And there's always something that someone can do for their own website. In this day and age, we have WordPress and Wix and Squarespace and all the websites that you can change things yourself and you can learn to do the little bits. And, you know, I learned how to do it. I just decided to specialize in it. So any small business can learn how to do their own very basic SEO. And I'm a big champion of people having the tools to do things for themselves.
Yeah. Do you think that theoretically they are, you know, if they have the knowledge and the sort of tool set that goes along with this, because they understand their customers inside out, they understand all the challenges inside out, you know, they understand every tiny detail about the business, you know, I've seen some massive impacts from a small business point of view with businesses doing things themselves. Obviously, with somebody like yourself guiding them along the way, you know, just to be there when they need a bit of advice. But theoretically, to me, you know, they have everything in their heads. They have everything there that they understand, and it's just trying to get them to go about it. Do you find that sort of mentality comes across?
I think so, yeah. And I think having someone who knows that business inside out, because they own that business, they live and breathe that business, is a really good thing. Whereas for a bigger brand or a bigger business, it's just someone in the marketing department who perhaps doesn't have that. They're not as close to it. But also you've got the other side, haven't you, where sometimes they're too close and they don't always think, I don't want to say outside the box because that's a bit iffy, isn't it? But they don't think as a customer would think. And so when you speak to, I don't know, you speak to a website designer and they'll say, yeah, but all the people that need me are looking for things like website design in Bolton or whatever, or they're looking for a small business website design, or they're looking for this. That's what they'll be looking for. But when you actually look into it, and when you start looking into things like Google Search Console and their analytics, people aren't necessarily searching for that. They're searching for something like, an e-commerce cart website designer, or someone that can help them set up automation, or someone that can collect leads for them, or a number of things that they provide, but they haven't thought that people are searching for that because they don't think of that. They think, I'm a web designer, or I'm an accountant. So I'm a small business accountant. That's what I do. They don't think that people are looking for self-assessment returns and tax help and things like that. So I think it helps to have other people involved. So someone such as me or you, or a business coach, or just asking customers in general, just saying, you know, if you were looking for us, what would you search for? And I still ask my customers that now. I still say to people, how did you find me? What would you search for if you were looking for me now? And you know, the amount of people that now say they found me because they were looking for SEO help, but what they really needed was Google Search Console help, and they couldn't find me. So I now know that really I should be looking at my own site to make sure that when someone's looking for Google Search Console help, they can get in touch with me. And I think that, again, we all do it. We're too close to our own businesses, and I'm very close to mine. It's my baby. And I often don't think of things that I should be thinking of, but I can do that for someone else's business because that's not my baby. I can think, no, people aren't going to be looking for that. When people look for a copywriter, they're possibly looking for a fashion copywriter or a health copywriter or a charity copywriter, for example. And I can guide people in that kind of direction. And it's a direction they perhaps wouldn't have thought of because they've got a very linear view of things.
Yeah. Well, you say that a very linear view. I'm going to say a few months back, went into a local business and I was asking them questions about what makes them different. And they said, we just do what we do.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's trying to extract that information out of them because to them, it's just normal day to day. It's just normality. So they don't think that, oh, well, that's something we can use or go after because it's just that normality of life. And, you know, for instance, like an accountant, you know, I said, what's the difference? Oh, nothing. And when I delved in it, apparently they were just celebrating the 100th year. And, you know, it's like, well, the gold mine. It's just who we are. You know, that's the thing behind it. And I think from your perspective, how do you go about not draining, but gaining that information you need out of the small business owners?
I think all you can do is ask the questions, can't you? And you ask the usual question from a content point of view, which is obviously going to help with the SEO. I want to know what questions their clients are asking them. What was the last problem that they solved for a client? What is in their help files that people are asking for help with? And why is it in their help files and their FAQs and things like that? If it's a slightly larger team, maybe they give scripts to the person that answers the phone because they have certain questions that are asked. And those are great. That's great fodder for web content, because if people are asking, ringing you up to ask those questions these days, they're going to be looking on the web first because, you know, a lot of people don't want to waste time with phone calls. They want to find the answer in Google. And so I will ask them, and I have a lot of questions that I ask clients that I work with to get to the key words and the key phrases that they need to be focusing on that go beyond the things that they first think of when they think of SEO. And I think it's our job to tell them what's going to work for them, not to just do what they think is going to work for them. And even if they come to me and say, I want to be at the top of Google when someone searches for an estate agent in Bolton, then I'll go, okay, we can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But let's look at some other phrases that we can work with as well, because it's not always about the most obvious things. It's about the things that you do as a business, like your client that was 100 years old. There's so much content in that for social media, for web content, just so much stuff that they could put on their website to attract people to different parts of it. And they probably, to them, it was just they might have some balloons outside their door and put a press release out to the local newspaper. And that's it. They've done their marketing bit for their 100 years anniversary. Because people often, especially traditional businesses, I think, they often don't think about the web. They don't think, what can we do with our website? Because they've got a website. They've done that. That's ticked that box. That website's there. And they don't think, okay, how can we add content to that? How can we change that? How can we make it more attractive to customers? And every time we make our website more attractive to customers and clients and potential leads, we make it more attractive to Google. So it's a win-win situation, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you say, I have spoken to lots of small business owners and they do see things as a tick box.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, some of them said, oh, well, we need SEO. Then I can tick that box.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because what they've been told they need. And yeah. To them, it's about understanding, well, the difference, the impact we can make from this.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I used to find a lot was definitely that tick box mentality where they'd go, right, we've got the website. Website designers said they don't do SEO, which is fine. It's not a web designer's job. So we need an SEO person because we need to tick the next box. And they'll come and they'll say, how much is it for SEO? And that's, you know, it's that old joke, isn't it? It depends. Because, you know, we don't know how much it's going to be. What do you need? What do you want to achieve? What do you want your website to do for you? If you just want it to be at the top for your name, you don't need SEO. Because chances are it's going to be at the top for your name unless you've got a name that a million other people have. Like I know you. You have a name that other people have. I have a name that other people have. But most companies don't, you know, they have a name and they've chosen it because it's unique. But what the mentality that I find a lot is that they think that SEO is a one-off job. It's like a web design job. The web designer will say, I've done the SEO for you. And what they mean is they've put in some title tags and some meta descriptions. Or a copywriter will say, I've done all the SEO work. And what they mean is they've included some keywords in the article that they've written. Or they might have done H1s and H2s. Maybe a link to a service page. What I have to explain to people, and it's still an education process, 30 years later, I'm still educating people, and we all have to do this, is that it's an ongoing, SEO is an ongoing thing. It's going to be an ongoing thing as long as search engines are there. I mean, look at the whole hassle that we had September, October time with Google and all the updates that they did and all the things that people thought they were doing right with AI and things like that. And then loads of places lost traffic and some places gained traffic. And Google search at the moment is a bit of a bin fire because there's so many spam results and things like that. I mean, I'm really lucky on the whole thing is that my clients don't use AI. They know that if they use AI, I won't work with them. I've sacked clients for telling me they haven't used AI when I know they have. And they know that because I don't work in a lot of the niche industries like the e-commerce industries and the affiliate industry and things like that, my clients haven't really been hit as much by the spam results, which is lucky for me and lucky for them. But at the moment, Google search is just, it's just a bin fire.
Yeah, it's certainly far from a little messed up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's awful, but... And that's another reason why people need to understand that SEO isn't a one-off project. It's not something that is going to happen once and then it's done and sorted and you don't have to do anything else. It's not like a logo where you get a logo designed and you could be happy with that logo for the next 20 years and that's fine. And you might update it a little bit or you might just leave it as it is and there's no reason why you shouldn't. But from SEO, like any other marketing, is an ongoing process. It's like no one posts on LinkedIn and goes, right, that's LinkedIn done. And that's once. Then they do that, let's be honest, but they shouldn't do that. So they don't say, right, I've done a post on LinkedIn. That's it. That's all I need to do. They know that it's an ongoing process and it's the same with content and it's the same with SEO because things change. Things need to be tested. We might put an internal linking structure into place and then go, actually, I don't think that's working because it's not working as well as we thought it would. Let's try this. We might decide that we're writing a between me and the client, that we're writing a certain type of content. And for whatever reason, that content stops working so well. So we have to kind of pivot and do something else. So it is an ongoing thing. And that's why I like working with small businesses, because I speak to the person involved in making decisions. And if there's enough trust there, which hopefully they wouldn't be hiring me if there wasn't, then I can say, right, that didn't work. So let's try this. And like any SEO person, sometimes things don't work. And we have to change tack and change how we do things. That's just how it is. And I guess that's like any marketing. Yeah, sometimes you think, like social media marketing, sometimes you think the most awesome post you've ever written is going to go viral. Everybody's going to love it. And you're going to be like cream of the crop. It's tumbleweed. And then you'll just post some random off the cuff little video or something like that. And it goes mad. And, you know, it's just an ongoing thing, hoping that if we hit enough of those okay, mediocre type things, we'll keep on hitting the higher value, bringing in the client things.
Yeah, I think we have to test things out of the ordinary, you know, for businesses. As long as, obviously, it's not going to create any massive negative impact, you know, there's a line between testing things, you know, to create a positive impact and testing things that might generate a negative impact if it don't work. So what's your thinking behind that when you go to a client and think, I have this idea for you, we can test it. What's your thinking behind, well, I know it's not going to create a negative impact, but let's see if it'll create a positive impact.
I mean, it's very rare that I test things on clients that I haven't tested on my own website. Because if I'm not prepared to take the risk with my own website, why should I take the risk with a site that someone is paying me to make the most of? And there are things that we all know are going to help SEO. And the usual basic things are all going to help SEO. Content clusters are going to help. Internal linking is going to help. But a classic one was recently, I had a lot of clients that came to me and said, we need author bylines. We've read on Twitter that author bylines are good for SEO. And I said the same thing to everyone. I said, they're not going to be a ranking factor, but they're good for trust. They're good for user experience. So yeah, let's do it. And then I did all that for lots of clients. And then I had the same clients that come back to me because they've now read on Twitter that John Muller said, author bylines aren't a ranking factor. And we know that. We already knew that. I don't understand why there's such an uproar about it. We already knew that. And so all of these sites, including some of my clients, are like, right, take them off. And when you work for a bigger brand, I think you just go, you try and fight your corner because they are good for user experience and trust. And they do help Google follow links. So internal linking, they're really good for. But when you work for a bigger customer, sometimes you just go, okay, look, I'll just take them off. If that's what you want, we'll take them off. When you work for a smaller customer and you have a closer relationship, I think you can stand your ground a little bit more and you can say, no, we're not, I don't think we should take these off. And this is why. And I was lucky that my clients do trust me and I could get them to keep the things that I knew were good for their website, but weren't necessarily a ranking factor. But yeah, I see Twitter. I was on Twitter this morning. They're still fighting over that one. But you've got to love SEO Twitter.
Oh dear me. Yeah, I have over the time quite a few clients, you know, whenever there's anything said, they'll contact me and say, oh, I've heard this. But they will ask me, well, what do you think about it? You know, they won't just say, oh, I've read this, then we should do it because they said so. They say, well, you know, because at the end of the day, they work with people like you and me for that advice.
Yeah.
You know, to guide them in the right direction. But, you know, from obviously an SEO point of view, we can dissect the information that's out there. But from a business owner's point of view, like you've just explained there, it can be very, very confusing when everyone's saying all this stuff about things.
Yeah.
You know, so from their perspective, I mean, how should they approach all this bombardment of information that's out there?
It's so difficult. I think it's really, really difficult because we have to understand that most people aren't like us. They don't live and breathe this stuff. This is just a part of what they read about marketing their business. And some clients never read anything, not interested. That's what they pay me for. It's my job to go out and find out what's working. And if there's something new, they appreciate that, I'll tell them about it. And other clients will come to me with everything. Like, do I need to be doing this? Do I need to be doing that? Oh, I've just heard that meta descriptions aren't a ranking factor. Why do I need meta descriptions? And I've just heard that if you use AI, as long as you change it a bit and say that it was AI, it's okay, you can use it. So I think we should just use AI to write all our content now. And it's my job to explain to them that, yes, they can do that, because as a business owner, that is their right. They run their business. But they come to me to tell them what I think is and isn't a good thing. And I will tell them, and I am quite blunt. I do say everything, you know, as it is. And I will say, no, seriously, do not go and use AI and change it a bit, because your copy's going to be rubbish and no one wants that. And you're not writing just for Google, you're writing for your reader. And at the end of the day, getting high search engine listings is awesome, but getting clients is more awesome, and getting inquiries and leads. And I think that if you can develop a really good relationship with your clients and potential clients and just people that know you, they trust you and they trust what you say. And we have a duty to make sure that all of those, and I call them the SEO bros on Twitter, and I'm guessing on Threads now, I don't spend as much time on there, but on LinkedIn, definitely, that are throwing out this information. They're throwing out the use AI, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. At the end of the day, I'm trusted when I say, no, you don't have to do that. You need to know the SEO basics, and that's what you need to know. And once you know those, then you expand from there. And all these new things that come along that people say is the next, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. You know, I think it was May last year, the whole ChatGPT thing went crazy, and loads of people were like, oh, I can create things with AI and it's going to be fantastic and I'm going to be great. And then that was all nipped in the bud, and Google went and got rid of loads of AI content. And then they changed their guidelines to say it had to be reviewed by a person. So then everybody went, well, as long as I read it and change a few words, then it'll be great. And it needs someone like us that can sit there and say, do you know what? It might work. And it will work short term for your search engine rankings, and you'll have some great vanity stats. They'll be awesome. You know, you'll be number one for loads of things. You'll be on the front page. You'll get loads of visits. But also, let's not forget, when you get those loads of visits, that content is a pile of rubbish. And your bounce rate's going to go up. No one's going to get to read that call to action that you've tacked on to the end, because that's your, humans looked at it. You've tacked a nice little call to action on the end. No one's reading that, because they're not reading past the first three paragraphs. And I think by being open and honest with our clients, potential clients, contacts when we're writing things on LinkedIn and things like that, people just learn to trust us. And they know that we're not jumping on the latest bandwagon. And then when they do hear the latest thing, they'll come to us and they'll say, I've heard this. What do you think? And that gives me personally an opportunity to write about that on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time writing on LinkedIn. I have an okay amount of followers. I'm not in, you know, one of your top hundreds of thousands of followers, but I spend a lot of time saying, look, this is what people are saying. This is what works. This is what doesn't work. And I like to think that people listen to me. I know my clients do. So that's all we can do.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important thing. You know, it's not that if anyone else does, it's, well, do the people that matter trust what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so when you go down the whole AI infrastructure and everything's blown up and everyone's posting case studies and everything about it, I mean, what's inside your head about it?
Oh, my goodness. Am I allowed to swear on this? I don't know. Will people be really offended if I say, I often think, what a load of bollocks? Because seriously, you know, often these people, and there's a classic one that came up a month or so, maybe a couple of months ago, where a guy posted that he's stolen loads of traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a well-known guy on LinkedIn, and I'm not going to name him because I don't want to be honest. But he posted that he'd stolen loads of traffic from another website. He posted screen grabs, and he was basically promoting an AI tool that he has shares in or is a co-founder of or something like that. And people went mad for it. There were two sides of it. There were all the good SEOs that were saying, oh, my God, this is awful. You can't do this. You can't promote that. This is a good way to do things. And then there were all the niche and affiliate site SEOs going, oh, my God, this is great. This is the way I'm going to do things. I'm just going to steal loads of traffic from somewhere else. And then someone else found out the site that the traffic was stolen from. And it wasn't, when they say stolen, all he means is that he got better rankings than that person and people came to his website rather than someone else's website. And do you know what? It was an awesome marketing technique. It was absolutely, I take my hat off to him. It was brilliant because we were all talking about him for weeks. Everybody was talking the ins and outs. There were articles written about it and everything pointed back to him and promoted his AI tool that could generate bulk AI articles. But at the end of the day, anything, and we all know this and everyone knows that if something looks too good to be true, it is. And that kind of thing is, I've got no doubt he took that traffic from a competitor. I have no doubt that bulk AI articles will get you really good listings in Google really quickly and that you will get some traffic from that. And if you have affiliate links or something like AdSense on your site where you make money from adverts, then you're going to make a bit of money from it, and well done, and that's great. And then when it stops working, you'll probably just open up a new site and do that again. But the thing is that those people can do that because those niche affiliate type sites, they are throwaway sites for a reason, because they work until they don't. And then when they don't, there's another one waiting to take their place. And the people who are doing that kind of thing right, I have to have a certain amount of respect for, because they're doing it and they know what they're doing. They know that it's a really shitty way to do things, but they're making money from it. And they'll have sites just ready to go. Right, that one's stopped. We'll throw that away. Bring this one in. And they'll be just constantly doing it. But your average small business can't do that. They can't. Their site isn't a throwaway site. They might have spent £2,000, £3,000, £10,000 on a business site that they need to generate business. And they can't afford to take chances. And I think it's our job to make sure that they don't take those chances and to tell them why they shouldn't take those chances and to steer them away from the bad decisions. That it can be really overwhelming when you see someone saying, oh, here's the graph of my visitors and it's gone up like that, you know. And I think it's really overwhelming as a small business to see that maybe your traffic graph hasn't gone up that high. But you have to think, you're still going to be here in 6 months' time. That website isn't, because it will stop working. And I 100% believe that any site that has shock tactics and full, you know, the full on throw everything at, whether it be AI or something else, eventually it will stop working. And if you haven't got the groundwork in place and the foundations in place, then you're going to have an issue, and you can't afford to have that as a small business.
Yeah, I think in the industry, people from my thinking, they need to understand everything behind what somebody's doing. You know, obviously, when you're working with a small business, you know, some of them have been doing this for many years. They're building up the reputation, the brand and everything, which is totally, totally different than someone, like you say, that's built a website just purely to drive traffic and earn money. It's a totally different scenario. And I think sometimes in the industry, some SEOs, unfortunately, cross paths with both of them, you know, and they're totally different entities and totally different things and way of doing things, you know, it's dissecting the information out there, you know, because if, you know, you ruin a reputation of a small business and their website and their brand, you can't say, oh, well, just start again. But, you know.
And in some cases, if you ruin that brand and that brand experience, even if that business probably doesn't think they have a brand experience, but if you ruin that brand experience, you could be ruining someone's life. That's their business. That's how people see them. And that's a lot to have responsibility for. So it's our responsibility, and I definitely think it's my responsibility, to tell people that these things aren't going to work and to call out these really dodgy tactics that people will tell everybody on LinkedIn or everybody on Twitter that this works for everyone, because it doesn't. And, you know, whilst I admire the people that throw everything at, you know, and this example is AI. So, yeah, everybody, they can throw their everything they have at AI and they can make money from it in a really short period of time and then down the line just do it again. I really admire that and I wish them well. I really do. But what I want them to do is stop telling everyone else that they can do it, because that's not how it works. And people that are spreading this misinformation, I suppose, they're ruining it for SEOs like you and I that care, and that care for our clients, because they're not working with clients. They're affiliates and they use advertising. They're just working for themselves. We're working with clients that we care about. And I think we owe it to those clients that we care about to call out the people that are spreading the dodgy tactics. And, you know, it used to be that there was a massive distinction between white hat and black hat. So we knew white hat good, black hat bad. Now there's such a crossover between the two, because there are people that for a long time have been pushing what we would have called in the past white hat techniques. They're doing things by the book, doing things right. And now they're doing things that we're not calling black hat. We're calling grey, I suppose, because it's a little bit dodgy, might not work long term, but they're going to do it. And they're spreading that information with their latest, comment on my tweet and I'll tell you how I've done it. Send me a DM and I'll send you a checklist. And all of those like almost parasite tweets and things that are basically there just to spread the word a little bit more. And it's one of my, I hate those. If you comment, DM me below, I'll send you my report and things like that. And it's an awful way to spread a lot of information really quickly. And, I don't want my clients getting that information. I don't want to have to sit and explain to a client why I will not put 5,000 AI articles on his website just because if he pays $200, he can have them. So I just think that we owe it to all of the people that want to do SEO properly. And that includes as well, let's not forget, new people getting into SEO, who are going to learn from the things that people who have done it can put out there. I think we owe it to them all to call out the bad techniques for what they are.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing over the years, I've said this many, many times, it's everything lacks context, right? When they do something, they don't say, this is with the situation, this is with the outlines, this is what worked, what didn't. This is the business type. This is, the context behind things. Yeah. You know, instead of just saying, I did this and look at that graph. You know, there's no context to say, well, you know, if you're a small business, this is no good for you. Or if, you know, there's no guiding to say, well, you know, we did this. This is a case study on this. But realistically, you know, this were for big brands that everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
So if you're a small business, it probably won't work for you the same.
No, and that's the thing. The traffic's not going to rise in the same way for a small business because the traffic isn't there for that small business. What we need to make sure is that the small businesses that come to us that want the traffic that is there get that traffic. And then when they have that traffic, their website can convert it into leads and customers. When you've got a big brand like, I don't know, Coca-Cola, for example, yeah, of course their traffic's going to increase if someone runs a really good campaign. That's going to increase because people know who they are. People are going to click on, whether it's a social media campaign or a pay-per-click campaign or whatever, that's going to skyrocket their traffic. And their kind of their graph goes from down here to up here. But your small business might go from down here to up here. And what a lot of people don't see, I think, when they see these huge graphs that go up, and there's often no numbers on the graphs, if you've noticed as well. It's just like an upward going. I can produce those for a site that's got about 15 visitors a month. You know, I've got a site I've never done SEO or any SEO on. I release an article every so often, and traffic goes up to about 15 visitors a month. And it would look awesome if I did those graphs, but I won't because they're misleading. But for a small business, the graph doesn't have to be a steep rise in the amount of traffic they have to make a big difference, because they don't want hundreds and hundreds of clients a lot of the time because they can't cope with that. They want enough clients to keep their business going. And there are ways and means to do that. And from an SEO point of view, I think a lot of what we have to do is manage expectations, because people do read more now about SEO, and especially on places like LinkedIn and business forums and things like that. They read people saying, you know, I got 5 million visitors in a month to my website. And they will come to me and say, right, I had a client a couple of months ago, just before Christmas, came to me and said, I want 5,000 visits a week to my website. Can you do that? And I said, don't know. I haven't got a clue at the moment. Let me go and have a look. I looked at his website. I looked at the sort of search phrases and what we could expect to do. I said, I can't guarantee you 5,000 visitors a month to week to your website. Why do you want 5,000 visitors a week to your website? And he said, oh, because I need them to sign up to this specific thing, and I need 1,000 to sign up to this. And these are the figures that I've worked out, and I need this many visitors. And we worked out in the end that if he targeted some very specific key phrases that were really, really niche for what he was doing, he could get those signups. And he did get those signups, and quicker than he expected to get them, which was great. But I did manage his expectations right from the beginning and said, I'm not going to guarantee that you'll get 5,000 visitors a week. And he said to me, this other SEO company, they've shown me some of their stats for their clients, and one of their clients is getting 10,000 visits a week to their website. And I said, well, what does that client do? And he said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, go away and find out. Because does that client do what you do? Is it in your industry? Is it in your niche? Are they offering signups to something that you're offering? And it turned out this other client was a marketing client of another SEO company that was offering a free download that was really well written, really well promoted. Of course they were getting 10,000 visits a week to their website because it was promoted in so many places. And those visits to their website weren't from SEO. They were from various other things. So I think it's important that when small businesses see these kind of figures, that they ask the questions, even if not directly, because not everybody wants to do that, that they ask the questions even to themselves. Is this business in the same industry as me? Are they offering the same thing that I'm offering? Could I be getting that amount of visitors to my website? And if I could, should I? Because what would I do if I suddenly got 5,000 visitors in a week to my website, and let's say 200 of them filled in my inquiry form that I then had to deal with. Could I deal with that? Because from a small business to business perspective, it's not like selling something. You know, if you're selling a book or an ebook or a widget or whatever, that's different. You want all those visitors. But if you're selling a service, and often with a small business, it's a personal service, then can you, you know, you need to manage things so that you can manage the amount of inquiries coming in. Because then if you don't, we're back to the doing your brand a disservice.
Yeah, it's so important, especially for the smaller businesses, for the SEOs to really understand the capacity of the business, you know. So what's your top level capacity? What needs to happen within the business if we move above that capacity, you know, that target, you know, all these different things. And suddenly it's not just about, oh, let's drive as much to the website as possible. It's like, well, somebody's got to service this new business, you know, so can they? Because often, you know, I've heard horror stories on the other side of the fence, you know, where they got too much and it sort of made massive issues within the business. And basically they got, you know, negative reviews because they're letting those people down.
But yeah, because they couldn't cope. Yeah. And it is, it's a difficult one. And you know, I think that everybody wants to aim high all the time. We all want to aim high. We all want, you know, to have clients saying nice things about us and to be getting good results and things like that. But, you know, I know when I can't take another customer on because I know how much time I have. And any small business would know that. And some small businesses do want to grow. So they do want to get to a stage where they have enough new business coming in so that they can grow their team. Some small businesses don't want to grow. They want to stay as they are. They just want to be at full capacity. And it's important as SEOs, but also as business people, that we can talk to them about that and we can help them to work out how we're going to reach the best end result for them. And I think we have, as small business people ourselves, I think we have a really unique like viewpoint on a lot of things. And we understand a business from an SEO point of view, but we also understand it from a business point of view. And I think that's what a freelance SEO person has that maybe a bigger agency doesn't have, because a bigger agency, I'm not knocking bigger agencies at all. I work for quite a few and some of them are absolutely amazing and do really good things in lots of different disciplines. But often you will have the SEO person who is an employee and doesn't understand anything from a business point of view, because there is an employee mentality and a business owner mentality. And I like to think that when I think about my clients, I think about their business as well as their SEO. And I'm sure you're the same, and lots of other freelance SEOs and SEO people that I talk to are the same. And I think it's a unique thing that a smaller business can get from a smaller business SEO.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a trainer myself, I've been in agencies and in house teams, you know, and often I talk to the team about the business side of things. You know, do you understand the businesses you're working on, the business impacts? You know, what is it about that business? And just to give them, it's not for me when I train people, SEOs, it's not about how to create a canonical tag or how to do this. It's more understanding the mindset and the bubble, in effect, how what you're doing. Do you know what impact you're making? And all this side of it, I think it's so important. And I do believe in some cases, not all cases, that there's a big disconnection there.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that it goes both ways. There's a disconnection from the SEO going in and their job is SEO and that's what they do. And their job is literally to get these search phrases to the top of that search engine. And that's what they do. And they haven't thought about the business side. But and from the other side, you've got the business person who thinks that they need to be top of the search engines for this search phrase, and that's what it's going to do. And they haven't thought about how it's going to affect the business, because they just think, oh, it's just marketing. It's just like writing a post on LinkedIn or writing a social media post on Instagram or recording a TikTok video or whatever. And they don't understand that all of those things are marketing and all of those things can do really good things for your business. But if you get Google right, Google can make such a difference to your business that you have to be prepared to know what that's going to change and what you're going to achieve from that and what systems you're going to have in place. If suddenly you become, you know, what happens if you've never had an inquiry from Google, but suddenly someone searched for, I don't know, green architect in London and you're at number one and you've got all these inquiries, what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with them? And I ask clients that question a lot when they come to me with, you know, search phrases that I know are going to generate a lot of inquiries. And I know that I can get onto the front page of Google and I know it will be quite quick to do that. And I'll say to them, what are you going to do if you get 5 inquiries a day, 10 inquiries a day, 20 inquiries a day? Because let's not forget, we all get inquiries. A lot of them are just tire kickers. They don't actually want to work with us. A lot of people are just sounding out budgets and things like that. So there are things that, you know, we'll talk about websites and we'll put into place things like having your prices on your website or having a from price, having qualifying questions, having help sections or FAQ sections that answer a lot of questions already, and things that can make it more manageable if you do hit the big time, as it were. Yeah, it's our job to do that, I think, when we work with small businesses.
Yeah. Now, something I've often thought about myself is if there is an SEO person and all they've done all the career is work on big budget, big brand sites, could they move straight into like working with a small business?
I think so. I don't see why not, to be honest. I think it'll be a culture shock, obviously. I mean, if they work, it depends. Because, you know, if they're working purely on SEO, so the big budget is spent on time, then yes, they can, because the principles are going to be the same. They just have to change their mindset slightly about how quickly they achieve things, what they want to achieve, and maybe they can move out into some other things like creating more content and things like that. If that budget has been spent on other things to back up SEO, like pay-per-click or social ads or whatever, or paid sponsored type things, then no, they're going to find it difficult because they when they move to the small business, they haven't got that budget and they're purely working on SEO. But the principles of SEO don't change. The basics don't change. The way that you use them change. But the actual basics of what we do and how we write content and how we do the technical aspects of SEO, if that's something that you've been involved in, then, they don't change. So I don't see why someone can't move from a big brand to a smaller brand. I think people would have more problem with moving from a smaller brand to a bigger brand, where there's a much higher expectation. Search phrases are going to be much more competitive. You're going to have a bigger technical SEO knowledge as well as on page and things like that, and content and stuff like that. And I say, you know, in my in my LinkedIn tag, apart from the bit that I use that I'm not going to say because I don't want to swear at everyone, I do say, they say you can't know technical SEO and content writing. I can and do. And that's because I was there right at the beginning and I've had to learn all of that as I went along. I think a lot of people now, they learn one or the other. And it takes the two together to work together to make sure that both sides are covered. So moving from a big brand to a smaller brand, I think it'll be a culture shock, but I think it can be done.
Yeah, definitely. Now, as time is rocking on, I want to ask you, is there anything you think the audience needs to know or hear that we haven't already spoken about?
I don't think so. I think we've covered most things, haven't we? We've covered business side of things. I think they just need to know that things change. Like Google changes. Even if you don't know that Google's changing, Google changes. I speak to people all the time that don't know that there was a helpful content update, for example. And as SEOs, we have to know that. We have to know that the clients don't keep up with things like we do. So when they come to us and say, oh, my traffic dropped, you can't just go, oh, well, that'll be because of the helpful content update, because you haven't told them about it and they don't know. And I think it's our job to keep our clients updated on everything.
Yeah. And on that basis, what conversations would you like to have and where could people find you?
I would like to talk to people who want to have maybe a one-to-one on the basics of SEO that they can put into place themselves without committing to an ongoing budget, and just so that I can help them. We can talk about their website and give them the tools to do a few things themselves, and then they can make the decision on whether they want to pay someone. You can find me on LinkedIn, just search for Nikki Pilkington, or you can find me at nikki-pilkington.com.
Wonderful. Well, Nikki, many, many thanks for joining me on this at such short notice.
That's okay.
But it's been absolute pleasure.
It's been lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sam.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.